My name is Zimin Xu, Dr. Z, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. With me today is Mike Snell, who is the co-author of the Visual Studio 2000 Unleashed book. Today we are going to talk about how to address the common issues in application lifecycle management process. But before we get started, Mike, could you introduce yourself first?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here today, Dr. Z. I am a Microsoft Regional Director in the Pittsburgh area, and I also work for a company called CEI. We do custom applications for our customers, and we also consult on application lifecycle management issues.
I know you've been working in this application lifecycle management area for many years. What are the common issues or challenges that your clients have faced?
That's a great question. Honestly, we talk to about maybe a half dozen to a dozen customers a month, and it really does seem like they're all facing similar issues. So a lot of times we see upfront requirements management issues. Just getting the requirements down, getting them processed and managed throughout the entire lifecycle is a big issue and a big challenge for customers. We also see code review issues and code analysis issues that developers seem to be facing just to up the quality of their code. Three, along those same lines, we often see developers looking for to implement unit testing in a proper and robust manner. Number four, we're typically looking at customers that are trying to, even though we've been talking about it for a long time, they're trying to get out there and work on automated testing and getting their QA teams, the folks that are responsible for doing performance and web-based testing, and any of those types of black box testing, build those test assets and get that stuff automated. And then finally, every customer out there right now, it seems like, is interested in continuous integration process. How do they do it right? How do they get their build process tied with their unit testing and their code analysis process and sort of emit those metrics all in one centralized place so that they can track their entire development lifecycle?
I would like to look at each of those five areas, if we may.
Absolutely.
When you say requirements management isn't an issue, can you be a little bit specific, whether it's the documentation piece or it's the tracking issue?
Right. So documentation can be challenging for some customers in making sure that they've got a standard template and a standard process for documenting the requirements. But really, in today's sort of agile development environments, the bigger issue is how do you track those requirements from the initial vision, the initial inception, the initial scenarios that you've developed with respect to use cases, and then track those requirements through the software development lifecycle, and more importantly, track the changes of those requirements. Those requirements seem to evolve, and if the communication isn't happening and the collaboration around those requirements isn't happening, then that's where development teams seem to get themselves in a lot of trouble.
How? What advice do you provide to your clients?
Well, typically, when we're faced with this specific issue, we're looking at application lifecycle management tools, and we're looking at requirements management tools. Now, we're an application lifecycle management inner circle partner with Microsoft, so we typically are engaged to help customers understand the value of the Microsoft Team Foundation Server and Team Systems. I believe that product is really the first of its kind. It covers the entire breadth of the software development lifecycle from the visioning all the way out through the final production release and everything in between. So a lot of times we get involved with respect to requirements and showing people how that tool can leverage. You can leverage the work item tracking pieces in that tool, the workflow associated with that, and get the requirements under some control so that they can be monitored and managed.
What are some of the solutions that you've seen customers using to keep tracking of those documents?
Right, so it really depends on the process and the amount of requirements that a customer needs to manage, how big the team is, what the collaboration strategy is, what the connection points are of the team. So again, like I said, the nice thing with the TFS product is it covers the software development lifecycle from front to back. Now, in some areas it goes really deep, like automated testing or the software development process, source code control. But in the requirements area, it certainly has that ability to track and manage those requirements built into the tool. However, it's probably not as mature as some of the other areas of the lifecycle. So we've seen customers that don't have any real, that have very small needs around requirements management and tracking, be very successful in implementing requirements in Word and SharePoint and then being able to track those with work items inside of TFS. Those that need more robust requirements management, meaning that they need to to track individual requirements and track the version and history and control of those requirements, typically have to integrate a product like Ravenflow or Requisite Pro into the TFS product in order to track those requirements in the same way that that they might be used to using those products. But then, again, the key is to get that those links into the product, because with TFS, the developers are typically going into their IDE, being able to see those work items, see those requirements, and then hopefully connecting out to maybe a requirements management tool.
Mike, you mentioned that code review is another one of the major issues in that ALM process. Can you be a little bit specific as to what these issues are?
Yeah, sure. When we go out and talk to customers, there's usually two camps. Typically, there's the camp that they don't do a lot of code reviews because they just haven't gotten the value out of those code reviews. And then there's other people that are still doing the code reviews, but they're sort of just going through the motions of it. And the issues that we see is that the code review process itself is broken. They're typically talking about the same things over and over. It's usually standards driven, meaning that naming conventions and there might be size of methods and small things like that that typically they can pick out very quickly. One of the things that we find is that in most code review processes, once a developer's been given code to review, once they find 10, 15, 20 things, they feel they're fine, they've done their job, and then they move on. But they're not really taking the time to address the real issues that exist in the code.
What do you recommend to your customers? What kind of practices you've seen customers that adopted to address this broken process?
What we typically see is that most of those mundane issues that people either spend in the code review process or have sort of abandoned the code review process for can be handled through the static code analyzer. So inside of Visual Studio Team Developer, there's a piece that's built on the FXCOP engine. Some of you might have heard of that. But it's a really robust tool that allows, that really reviews your code for some specific issues. It could be naming standard issues. It could be issues with globalization, issues with performance. There's a whole host of issues. And so what we do is we work with customers to help them understand which pieces of the static code analyzer they want to turn on and apply against their code. We implement specific policies that get applied at check-in and again at the build integration process so that the static code analyzer runs, checks the code, validates the code, and makes sure that those issues are extracted from the code. It also helps developers become better developers because every issue that's found, there's prescriptive guidance typically with respect to that issue. They can go out, figure out a suggested way to fix that code. Once they've got that under their belt, the next time they don't typically see that that same issue in their code. It really sort of trains them to be developers. And what we found is that it's really elevated the code review to something different than what it typically has meant in the past. So instead of coming to the table with specific naming convention issues and small performance issues, now what people are talking about are real issues with their code. They can take a look at a specific loop and say, hey, maybe we could refactor this bit of code out into its own method. Hey, perhaps there's some reusable code here. Maybe there's a duplicate store procedure that we would like to eliminate if we could just change a parameter. These are real things that should be happening as part of the code review instead of sort of that mundane stuff. So we think that customers, just by implementing this very simple static code analysis tool, can really change the quality of their code, the quality of their product, and really elevate the conversation that they're having with respect to code review.
Mike, unit test is another issue you mentioned. Developers all know how to write unit tests in the application. So what are the real issues? What are the underlying issues that we are talking about here?
What we typically see with customers is not really, how do we write that first unit test? That's pretty straightforward using a framework such as that built into Visual Studio Team Developer Edition. Instead, what we're really seeing is customers trying to understand what are the standards around writing effective unit tests in their environment. So what we typically do is we cover how do you write a set of effective unit tests? So what does that mean? So that means that you're typically doing things like covering sort of that standard scenario, making sure that you cover all the error conditions within this specific bit of code that you're unit testing, making sure that you're doing things like bounds checking, doing some parameter mix testing, meaning that you're covering all the different variations and versions that might be called within the specific unit test. So we find that, that making sure customers understand how to write those effective unit tests and really standardizing on that goes a long way towards helping them introduce their unit test framework. All right, another issue that we typically see with customers is how do they manage the state of the application so that they're always testing a stable state of the application? One of the core tenets of writing effective unit tests is that you can push one button and run your entire suite of tests. So that typically means that there's a setup script that's involved with respect to the database, getting the application sort of configured for that initial test. And again, that has to be automated, has to be built up front so that the unit test framework and the unit tests themselves just execute. And then at the end of the unit test, after you've sort of inserted rows, deleted rows, executed transactions against the database, et cetera, you need to reset that environment so that those tests can run again. And that's another major endeavor that's involved in most unit test implementations. So another issue that we typically see is with respect to unit testing is code coverage. So one of the things that customers typically ask themselves is when they start writing the test, how do they know that when they're done? How do they know they've written enough unit tests? So the first thing that they take a look at is a tool that's built inside of Team Developer and TFS. And that tool provides code coverage metrics about the unit test. So it can tell you what percentage of code is covered within a specific method, within a specific class library, within your solution. And you can find that uncovered code pretty easily. We think that's a great first step. However, what we typically are looking for is beyond code coverage metric. What we want to do is find, we want to use the code analysis tools that are built into Team Developer as well to find those areas in the code that have high cyclomatic complexity, and which means they have a high rate of dependency, and they've got a pretty complex bit of code in there. Typically, those bits of code represent the heart of your application, where a lot of the transactions happen, where a lot of the sort of meat and potatoes inside your code exist. And around those specific areas, what we want to see is a clustering of unit tests. So we want to see 10, 20, 30 or more tests that are specifically targeting that area of the code, because we know that that's where we need to focus our energies and focus the developer's unit testing time on those specific methods, because they do have that high degree of complexity.
While on the subject of unit testing, I remember you also mentioned automated black box testing. So what are the issues are we addressing differently here?
Right, so the first thing I want to do is delineate between what we would call developer unit testing. That's typically done by a developer. They've got access to the code. If a test breaks, they might jump into the code and take a look at what's specifically happening. That's more of a white box testing scenario. Black box testing I'm really referring to is the creation of test assets against your application. These are typically done by the QA department or testers, and they're typically recording user scenarios through the actual application, and we're leveraging those user scenarios in sort of a playback mode to really test the application. So in those scenarios, in fact, we've addressed some very specific customer scenarios that using these tools. The tools I'm talking about, of course, are our Team Edition for testers and TFS. And one specific example that comes to mind is a customer who came to us that had a very good question, which is they're looking to buy one of their competitors, and they were going to merge that competitor's information, both their customers and their database, into their system, as well as bring on additional customer service representatives, additional transactions in the database, etc. And then the question is, if we add all this additional data to our system and all these additional users, both mobile device users, web users, and customer service representatives, as well as additional reporting needs, etc., will our system still be able to support it? We were able to take those user-driven scenarios and really model what the users look like using the test. So that way we can get a really good representation of the right test mix from a user's perspective. In addition, we were able to leverage a tool called Team Database Developer. The Team Database Developer allowed us to generate all that additional data. So they weren't able to just sort of take their database and say, well, let's import this additional 30% more customers and transactions and history and volume. Instead, they really sort of needed to generate it. Well, they certainly didn't want to do that manually. So there's a data generation tool built inside of Team Database Developer. They're able to load the database with hundreds of thousands of additional records And then they were able to see the impact of all these additional users going against all this additional data. And then they were able to find all those bottlenecks, performance issues, and conflicts that existed in the system and be ready for that, for when they actually merged with that customer. And as a result, they were able to emphatically tell the CIO and the board of directors that, yes, we can be ready to implement this merger, if you will.
Mike, shifting gear a little bit, let's talk about build management.
Sure.
What are the real issues are we talking about here?
Yeah, this is another area that every single customer is interested in right now. So, and what customers are looking for is an automated continuous integration process. So what that means is they don't want to leave build and release and integrated testing as a last step in their software development lifecycle. Instead, just like building out test assets and automating them in a repeatable process, doing the static code analysis, doing the developer unit testing, they want to bring all that together in a cohesive, automated fashion. So the way they do that is leveraging MS Build, which is built into Team Foundation Server, and they're able to build a continuous integration process that takes the code that's been checked into the release on a nightly basis, builds that code, and then is able to run the static code analyzer, run the unit test, run the automated test assets, and then really report on the quality metrics related to the given build. Getting that set up is a valuable tool to every single one of our customers because once they have that established, now they can sort of see things like, you know, what is the quality of the build today? What was the code churn, meaning how much code changed between yesterday and today? What are the issues that have been fixed in this latest build, meaning that using the work item tracking that's built into TFS, they can say, okay, well, these three or four bugs have been fixed, and this new feature was added into this build. And testers can just pick up that new build off the server and begin executing their tests against it as well. But they now have additional information that says, here's the areas I should test because these are the items that were fixed, these are the features that were added. Project managers get a better feel for, are we moving towards a release? As our code churning numbers dropping, all of a sudden you get a spike in code churn, and all of a sudden 20% of the code changed over the weekend, for instance. You know you're not as close to a release as you might otherwise think, because guess what? You're going to have to go back and do a lot of testing against that all that code that had churned and things like that. So really getting that continuous integration process out there using these tools is a major win for most of the customers out there today.
Michael, we covered all these major issues. That's really good. But what are your recommendations customers can follow?
Sure. So if you want to get started, and what we recommend is that you don't try to tackle this all in one go. Instead, you want to take more of an iterative approach. So that means picking a pilot project, maybe a 30 to 45 day window, getting the tools installed, TFS and team systems, making sure that you've got connectivity in the database, setting up the project, and then pick a couple items like code analysis and automated unit testing are typically two big wins that you can really sort of start with. And then get the team trained, understand the tools, set the objectives and goals, and then go out there and build some code and work with these tools. If there's a big success at the end, evaluate at the end of the 30, 45 days, and if there's a big success, roll it out to the wider audience. And we think if you tackle each one of these issues like that in an iterative cycle, you'll be a very successful development team 6 to 9 months from now.
Mike, I want to thank you so much for your time and for sharing the great thoughts with us.
Thank you, Dr. Z. I really appreciate it.